servants. I appreciate you. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 3 through 9. When you have it, say amen. If you can't find it, we're going to put it on the screen. You're going to see it anyway. I can tell you this. If you send Philemon, you're in the wrong direction. You got to go back to the other end of the book. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 3. We come into this moment in David's life that is perplexing. It is a hard place in his life. And it says, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been abducted. They'd been taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices. David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. That grief, that kind of grief where it runs out of tears. And David's two wives were taken captives. Lord have mercy. I might have left one of them. Anyway, and David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Just because you're a leader doesn't mean you don't feel. Just because you got a degree doesn't mean you don't feel. Just because you got things going doesn't mean you don't feel. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. The people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. So grief has turned to anger. See, emotions will switch on you. That's why people change on you, because in one season of their life, they're one way, but in another season of their life, they will switch. So they were crying together. Now they're ready to kill him, because when things go wrong for you, you always need somebody to blame. And when David saw the men that he'd come back with turn on him and decide, we're ready to take you out, David encouraged himself. Tell somebody, say, I'll do it myself. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake. You will, somebody shout, surely. Surely overtake them, and without fail. And without fail, what? And without fail, keep going. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now let's go to Psalm 91 just for a minute. Just for a minute. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Talking about God, God will. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? This morning, for the next few moments, if you will allow me, the Lord has instructed me to give you these instructions as you go back home, as you go back to your cities, your countries, and as you go back to work tomorrow on Monday. The Lord told me to tell you to trust your wings. I want you to touch your neighbor and just say, trust your wings. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us as we go into the Word of God. I thank you for your presence, your healing, your power, your glory. Release it in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of God. So when my wife and I moved to Fort Worth, we moved to a place where I have access to a really nice back porch where I go and chill out and get my head together. And there was a family of hawks when we came there. And now it's a multitude of hawks. They've been being fruitful over the years. They have not moved. They are everywhere. I was talking to my sister on the phone last night, and I said, "Do you hear that noise?" And she said, "What is that?" I said, "Those are the hawks flying through the trees, launching in the branches." And it occurs to me, there's a couple of things I want you to understand about the way hawks operate. Very much like eagles, they can fly very high as 15,000 feet in the air. They can soar. They can soar and look down with keen eyes, so keen that they can see a rodent in the field at 15,000 feet and then dive down and attack that rodent. They also rest on branches. They rest on branches. The only thing about resting on branches is that occasionally branches break. And when you watch a branch break that any bird is sitting on, the bird never screams, never shouts, never seems frustrated, in spite of the fact what it was standing on, it's broken. And occasionally in your life, things will break. The reason that the hawk doesn't get upset when he finds himself in a critical situation is because he knows he can trust his wings. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I know you're able to do anything but fail. You're the God of all flesh. There's nothing too hard for you. You're the master physician. You're the healer of all diseases. I pray in the name of Jesus, whatever is attacking right now this brother, that the healing power of the Holy Spirit would step in and intervene. Thank you for our medical professionals that are handling this, and anoint them with insight and give victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout amen. So what I'm saying, branches break, and you need to understand that before you get back home and you're all lit up with the glory of God and you're all surrendered and you've surrendered everything over to God. But that does not mean that your family has surrendered, that your environment has surrendered, that your husband has surrendered, that your co-workers have surrendered. That doesn't mean that you don't have to pay taxes. That doesn't mean that your bills aren't due. That doesn't mean, I don't want you to have the expectation just because God has revitalized you and set you on a new trajectory that life won't keep on life. And because branches break. That's why we have to begin to understand this from the perspective of things will change in your life at such a rapid pace that you can't keep up with it. You can't always tell your friends from your enemies. Just because somebody says something that you don't like doesn't necessarily make them an enemy. But in a moment of pain and grief, somebody needs to attack you or attack somebody or blame somebody. We can't be so sensitive that we are not successful. Because if you're not careful, you become so sensitive that you won't be successful at what God called you to do, because you'll stop to argue with somebody and straighten out somebody and fix somebody and think that is the victory, when the enemy is just distracting you from your assignment. And the enemy wouldn't be distracting you if you didn't have an assignment. And one of the great things I've learned about life is to learn to distinguish the distraction from the assignment. Because many are the times that you will land on a branch and the branch breaks. And if you don't remember your wings, you will fall. the gravitational pull is never up, it's never upward, it's always downward. So we are always fighting against a gravitational pull that wants you to fall, and you have to remember your wings and that God covers you with wings, and that the angels of the Lord encamp about them that fear him, and that in the presence of God there is fullness of joy, and that in the presence of God you've got power, that sometimes when the branch breaks you forget your wings. You're so busy looking at the breaking of the branch and the pain that it caused and the fear that it brought that you don't recognize that you've got wings. Look at your neighbor and say, I got wings. Yeah. I want you to love me. I want you to support me. I want you to be with me. But if you don't, I want you to be my prayer partner. I want you to be my secret keeper. I want you to be my sister and my sister soldier, my brother soldier. But if you don't, I want to keep my job. I want to keep my house. I want to keep going forward. I've got plans. I've got ideas. I've got things that I hope to accomplish in my life. But if everything doesn't come together exactly the way I want it to come together, I've got to always remember I got wings. Look at somebody and say, I got wings. There is a moment in David's life that David has seen a series of breaking branches. In fact, David's whole life is full of branches that break. He is born into a family that really wasn't a good fit. It wasn't a good match. They weren't really excited about it. Some theologians and scholars think that his father did not really pick him out or point him out or appreciate him because he suspected that David wasn't his. I believe he was, but he suspected that David wasn't his. That's why David said, I was born in sin and in iniquity did God form me. He was a reject. Whether that's right or wrong, he was a reject in the family. He was ostracized in the family. He was more comfortable with sheep than family. Sometimes what you do is what was pushed on you because of what you're trying to avoid. Anybody understand what I just said? And so he goes through that, and he goes through this, and he goes through the other, and yet God has a plan for his life, and it's far beyond what it looks like right now, because in this season, he's taking care of sheep, but in the next season, he's going to be a great leader, but you go on to become a leader. This doesn't happen as quick as television. Life is not a television show. Life is not TikTok. Life is not Instagram. Life is not X. It doesn't happen that fast. It takes time. It takes life. It takes suffering. It takes enduring hardness. It takes branches breaking for you to really understand not only that you got wings, but to trust your wings. It's one thing to have it, and it's another thing trust your wings. Now, this is not just a sermon. It's a prophetic word to somebody. So I want you to be listening, not to the continuity of the address, but to the specificity of the rhema that God is saying to you, because you're getting ready to face some things that when you face them, you got to be able to trust your wings. And David has been sent on a menial task down there to bring some lunch to his brothers who are more mature and who are in the army. And David is just an errand boy until he sees Goliath. Goliath introduces David to the world. Goliath is a great thing. He's not a bad thing. I know he's ominous. I know he's foreboding. I know he's intimidating. But the massiveness of the challenge before him is how David got discovered. When God gets ready to really introduce you to the world, he will often use a giant problem in your life to bring you to the stage that you need to be in. Amen. Come on, talk to me, somebody. And so God uses Goliath to create a platform for David to stand on, and David is discovered in a fight. So if you run from every battle, if you hide from every breaking branch, if you're scared to land on something because you're so intimidated, you may miss the very usher that's going to usher you into the next stage of your life, avoiding broken branches. Goliath was used, and now he's fighting Goliath, who is a Philistine, for the king of Israel. And all of a sudden the king discovers him in the fight. Hear me right now. There is a fight that you have been in that God ordered, and even though you prayed, he didn't move it. Even though you spoke in tongues, he didn't move it. Even though you anointed yourself with oil, he didn't move it. There's a fight that's been going on in your life. If God doesn't move the fight, then that means God is going to use the fight to become a platform for you to discover what you can do, what you can endure, what you can stand, and what's next in your life. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm going to unravel some things this morning. I'm going to share some things this morning that are going to revolutionize your life. And all of a sudden, King Saul likes him and invites him into the palace. And David has to make the transition from being a shepherd boy, where what you smelled like didn't matter, and what you wore didn't matter, and what you look like didn't matter. And all of a sudden, he is catapulted into the palace where there is protocol, where there is order, where there is structure, where there is ambiance, where there is rules. And David has nothing in his background that has prepared him for the platform that he's about to stand on. But David is fluid enough that he's able to adapt to different situations rapidly. And God uses Jonathan. God will send somebody that loves you enough to school you, to get you ready for what he's about to do in your life. After you've discovered your Goliath, you got to find your Jonathan. When you find your Jonathan, they will dress you. They will change places with you. I wish I had time to really get down into David and Jonathan, because in David and Jonathan, I see substitution. I see Jesus trading places with us. I see him giving us his righteousness and us giving him our sins. And the prince in the house dressed David as a prince, gave him something he didn't work for, he didn't earn, he didn't have a background for, but through relationship, there was a conveyance, a conductor belt that brought him into a power that he never would have had he not been in that relationship. So protect your relationships, because God often will dress you through the relationships that you have if you protect them. And it happened. And boom, it happened. And David is there. And David is in the palace. And David is in the palace, and he kills 1,000 or 300 Philistines, and brings their foreskins and throws them down at the king's feet. But then David was so good at what he did that it created jealousy. Saul was good with David as long as they were singing about Saul. But when they changed their song and started singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands, all of a sudden, the branch broke. See, some people only like you in one dimension of your life. But when God finally brings you into the next dimension of your life, don't be surprised, because everybody can't handle role reversal. I said, everybody can't handle role reversal. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. We shout about it, but when it happens, everybody can't handle that. And so David ends up having to leave the palace, and he ends up running from the very person he was fighting for. And the reason David is running from Saul, who is now trying to kill him and throwing javelins at him, see, you're under attack because the enemy only tries to take you out because of your destiny, and he's trying to stop you before you get there, and you don't understand why it's happening, because sometimes he sees things that you don't see, and you don't understand why he's throwing javelins at you. Why would the king throw a javelin at a boy? But God knew what David was going to be, and Saul knew what David was going to be, and it got on his nerves. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. And all of a sudden, David finds himself in a situation of transition. And when we come to settle on the text, David is now has gone through a period of hiding amongst the people he was fighting. Look at how fluid he is. he is now hiding amongst the Philistines from the people he was fighting for. And sometimes when you shut doors, you shut doors prematurely because you don't understand how the branch will break and the situation will change and you'll find yourself on the opposite side. And David has had to hide amongst the Philistines, feigning himself to be mad, finally ending up with 600 men and their families in Ziklag. And he is in Ziklag because he is too much an Israelite to fit in with the Philistines. But he's been with the Philistines so long that he can't go back to the Israelites. And sometimes you have to create your own camp. Come on, somebody, because you don't, I'm talking to the misfit people. All you fit people don't get it. But to the misfit people, I want to talk to the people that you're not quite this and you're not quite that and you're not quite here and you're not quite there and you can't really explain where you're at. Sometimes you got to create your own camp. And David is in Ziklag with 600 men fighting for them and their families and their children and their goats and their cattle and their oxen. And they have just come back from a mission. And when you come back from a mission, sometimes you come back weary and tired. Have you noticed that we have been in a series of battles? No, maybe it's just me. It's not you. How many people, as soon as you get out of one thing, here comes something else? And as soon as you survive this, now you got that. You finally got the house paid off, now your body's acting crazy. You finally got your head on straight, got your therapy together, but your credit is jacked up. How many people have gone from battle to battle to battle to battle to battle? And I don't care how strong you are, and I don't care how anointed you are, and I don't care how gifted you are, and I don't care how talented you are, when you come back from a battle, you are tired. And it's called battle fatigue. Some of you have not been diagnosed yet. You are numb because you have been in so many battles that you have battle fatigue, and you're trying to find a place to just to perch on. Will you watch with me for a few hours? Will you stand with me? Will you be there with me? And there he coming home from battle with 600 men, and he's coming to a place, and there should be dancing. There should be singing. There should be rejoicing. There should be somebody. The women normally would run out to meet you, and they didn't. There is no sound of the laughter of the children. There is no smell of the break of the baking of bread. He comes home, instead of smelling bread, he smells smoke. He smells smoke. Somebody in here smells smoke. And the smoke is the first indication that something is wrong. And when he gets back to the camp, having survived being in Israel, having survived being with the Philistines, when he gets back to the camp, he runs into the fact that while they were gone, the Amalekites have come in and have abducted all the women and the children and burned the camp. And they're devastated. And sometimes you just got to admit, I'm devastated. I know you've been taught positive confession and just name it and just claim it and just quote the word, but sometimes you got to open up your mouth and say, God, I'm sick of this. Because until you get that pain out, you can't get that direction in. You got to open your mouth and holler. That's why I hope you all don't get rid of all the old school stuff, because there was something that the old church mothers knew. They didn't speak Greek. They didn't speak Hebrew. They didn't understand Swahili. But when the old church was, there was something that they released that broke out of their spirit that opened them up to what God was about to do next in their life. If you understand what I'm talking about, let me hear you shout unto God. You cannot deny this hurt. This hurt. This hurt. This is painful. The branch broke. The branch broke, and I don't know what to do. And then he finds himself in a yet more perplexing situation. I need to teach this for a minute. He finds himself in the perplexing situation that the people that he could count on have stopped weeping with him and decided, we're going to blame you. And they turn on him. Ahinoam is gone, Abigail is gone, and now his own soldiers have turned on him. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And we often preach this kind of stuff, but we don't tell people how to encourage yourself in the Lord, because we're so used to needing the whole 600 behind us in order to get encouragement, that when that branch breaks or that relationship changes or that voice ceases to be in your ear, you don't know that you've got the power inside of yourself to encourage yourself. I know it looks stupid, but sometimes you gotta lay hands on your own head. You gotta speak to yourself. You got to encourage yourself. You got to ignore all the ugly stuff and look for something that's lovely, and look for something that's true, and look for something that's real, and decide what you're gonna worry about and what you're not gonna worry about, and make it up in your mind. I'm gonna trust my wings even if the branch breaks. Now somebody said, trust your wings, baby. Trust your wings. Trust your wings. You're in a season where you got to trust your wings. You got to trust your wings. You got to trust that what God gave you is enough to handle whatever life throws at you. You got to trust that he that has begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You got to trust that God is not just Alpha, but Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You got to trust that God is with you always. If the branch breaks, he's with you. If the credit breaks, he's with you. If the marriage fails, he's with you. If your body gets sick, he's with you. If you're backed in a corner, he's with you. If the storm is raging, he's with you. If life is going crazy, he's with you. If your body's right with pain, he's still with you. If you're backed up and had to start over, he's with you. If you make your bed in hell, he's with you. If you take the wings of the morning and ascend to the uttermost parts of the earth, he's still with you. The reason you got the kind of power you got is not just because you read your Bible, but your Bible read you. And what you read, what you read in the Bible is going to be walked out in your life, and you don't get to choose how it's walked out in your life. It just happens the way it happens, and branches break. And David was left to encourage himself. And this is what fascinates me, because sometimes I look past what fascinates other people, because other people are fascinated by the fact that David encouraged himself, but I am fascinated with how David handles conflict. See, all conflict is not bad. It seems like we're extremists. Either if you go on social media, you just see all kinds of conflict. Things that people would never say to you to your face, they will whip out and lash out. And you get wounded by somebody that's sleeping up under a bridge. And you end up losing your house fighting with somebody. Because everybody looks important when you make your own page. I've never seen anybody yet make a page and post the worst part of themselves on the page. They all look important. They all look like journalists. They all look like, and they talk like they know you, even though they never met you. And if you're not careful, you'll mishandle conflict. In the workplace, you do not want to be surrounded by people who just say yes. You need some people in your life that will challenge your ideas. and reshape your thinking. All conflict is not bad, but we're living in a conflict drought. Either we're extremely full of conflict to the degree that we don't have constructive conflict, we just have a life avoiding destructive conflict, or we have people who just say yes to everything and we're not growing because we have not created an atmosphere that allows our ideas to be challenged, because we are only comfortable when we are in control. As long as you are in total control, you are completely comfortable. But when you find yourself in a situation that you have to be inclusive of people who think differently than you and your ideas are challenged, you have to be comfortable with that. Here lies the challenge of great leadership, is to become comfortable with other smart people in the room. See, when you build your own camp, you're the only smart person in the room. But when you get ready to take dominion over what God has for you, you have to be able to deal with, you're in the room with other smart people in the room. And so it doesn't have the ring that it used to have, because now you're outside the camp. Touch somebody and say, now you got to get out the camp. You got to get out of your camp to get the victory. You can't stay in your circle. You can't stay in your clique. You can't stay around people who always salute you and celebrate you. Now you got to deal with other people. And how you handle conflict determines whether you will become king or not. This was a tremendous moment in David's life only because of how he dealt with conflict. All conflict is not bad. I want to deal with the fact that we are in a drought of conflict. And the reason I say we're in a drought of conflict, in spite of all the stuff you see going on in the world, going on social media, you can choose the news you want. And it gives you a false sense of what is going on in the world, because you always stay in your own camp and you're not willing to have your ideas challenged, because when somebody challenges your ideas, you feel like they're challenging you. Because you have not been separated from your ideas. And that's why your ideas don't grow. Because ideas grow in conflict. Ideas grow in conflict. That's why you've been in the same place for 10 years. Because you have a conflict avoidance that was probably pre-wired in you, either by your history or your DNA, that you think your job is to just keep the peace. We like to talk about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, but when Jesus talks about it, he said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I came to stir things up. I don't mind a little conflict. I came to set it off in here. I'm going to do some radical stuff. I'm going to get on everybody's nerves. My church isn't going to like it. My synagogue isn't going to like it. The priest aren't going to like it. Everybody's going to be, but I'm willing to set it off. To reach my destiny, I've got to be willing to disrupt some things. But we have a conflict avoidance. So we go along. I'm going to ask you for something. Where am I go along to get along, people? You just see all kinds of stuff, but you don't say nothing because you don't want to be the one that makes no waves, because you're comfortable. And without conflict, you're not gonna hold your hand up. I get it. Yeah, you were the kid in the family that brought everybody together, and you spent your whole life explaining your mother to your father and your father to your mother, and you spent all your life explaining your big brother to your little brother, and you're just running from fire to fire trying to put everything out, and now your idea of heaven is quiet. And anything that draws attention to you and puts you at risk of conflict, you dodge. But David deals with the conflict head on. He just confronts it. And in the process of creating an environment where people feel safe enough to challenge your ideas without losing your relationship, that's how relationships last for years. Relationships don't last for years because you're always right. Relationships last for years because you know how to accommodate somebody else's ideas. Oh, I knew you weren't gonna shout about that. I knew you weren't gonna shout about that. Businesses explode when you surround yourself with bright people. But bright people don't always agree. If you watch listen at podcasts and say they don't always agree. So the one of them's telling you not to eat meat. The other one's telling you you got a protein deficiency. One of them's telling you don't drink water. The one of them's telling you that coffee is good for you. One of them's telling you a glass of wine is good for your blood vessels. The other one says any alcohol consumption is going to tear down your brain. And you're just going from person to person. And so rather than to be in conflict, you just step away and say, I'm not going to do anything. But how long can you do that? David has the conflict because his soldiers, his troops, his boys, his camp is in flame, and his troops are wanting to stone him. He's now had to encourage himself first in the Lord. And once he encourages himself, he goes to Abiathar to ask him, get Thummim and Urim, which were in the high priest's vest. And whenever there was a decision to be made, these prophetic stones were what was used. That's why he said, bring me the ephod so that I can find out, is God for me? Is God with me? Because I don't mind the branch breaking as long as I still got my wings. But if I lose my wings, I'll lose my mind. If I lose my wings, I'll lose my peace. If I lose my wings, I can't make a great decision. Oh God, that's why David said, take whatever you want to take from me, but whatever you do, don't take your spirit away from me, because I need your spirit. Without your spirit, I'm a fool. Without your spirit, I'm a hothead. Without your spirit, I'll be antagonistic. Without your spirit, I'll fail you in a minute. I need your spirit. I'm not just raising my hands to make Woman Evolve look good. I'm chasing the Holy Ghost. I need a fresh touch of God's spirit in my life. Somebody take about 15 seconds and give God crazy praise. I'm chasing him down. I need your spirit. Because I don't want to be in a battle that I brought on myself. I don't want to be in a battle that you don't intend for me to be in. I don't want to waste time arguing with Sanballat and Tobiah while the walls of Jerusalem lay in ruin. I don't want to mistake what victory looks like in my life. Victory don't look like you. It 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 don't look like you. So I'm through imitating people. I'm through pretending to be somebody else. I need to find out what victory looks like on me. It's got to be tailored to fit me. It's got to be tailored to fit my gifts. It's got to be tailored to fit my anointing. And if I have to lay on my face on the altar and call on God, if I have to kick my legs, if I have to shake my hand, if I have to spin around in a circle, if I have to jump up in the service and folks can't see the preacher, I got to get what victory looks like for me. I came too far. I went through too much. I had too many dark days to get here and have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. I need a touch from God, and I need it before I get on the plane. I need it before I get in the car. I need it before I take off in the air. I need it before we drive back. I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. That's why I came to church this Sunday. After getting all that word, I still needed some more, because I got to make sure that if the branch breaks, I can trust my wings. 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 See, God is getting ready to do something so mighty in your life that you need this word. And touch six people and say, trust your wings. Trust your wings. Trust your wings. Pressure wanes. Pressure wanes. When branches break, pressure wanes. When trials come, pressure wanes. When you're in a storm, pressure wanes. Pressure wanes. Pressure wanes. When you can't tell light from day, when you can't tell friend from foe, trust your wings. When you can't tell whether it's spring or winter, trust your wings. Though a host should encamp against you, your heart can't fear if you just trust your wings. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I feel like I'm preaching to somebody. You might be streaming online. You might be in the overflow, but God is going to overflow in the overflow until the anointing falls where you are. Because when God gets you out of this place, he's getting ready to take you into a brand new dimension, into a brand new stage, into a brand new place in God. And if you can't trust your friends, trust your wings. If you can't trust your family, trust your wings. If you can't trust your faculty, trust your wings. If you can't trust your board, trust your wings. I need 30 seconds of crazy Holy Ghost praise in this place. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's a child of destiny that's shouting. That's a child of destiny that got their hands in the air. Because God is talking to you. He's feeding something that he's about to do in your life. There's a breakthrough that's about to come in your life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bear witness to it. Bear witness to it. Slap three people and tell them something's about to happen in my life. Something's about to happen in my life. I got to get this word. I got to get it in my spirit. I got to get it in my heart. I got to get it in my belly. I got to get it in my system. I got to get it in my practice. I got to get it in my habit. I can't be distracted. I can't look to the left or the right. I don't care what season I'm in. I've got to trust my wings. I can't hear you make some noise in this place. Says it this way. He said, I've learned how to abase and to abound. I know how to experience abundance, and I know how to survive lack. I know how to abase, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed. I am instructed both to be full, and I am instructed to be hungry. I am instructed both to abound, and I am instructed to suffer need. Because God doesn't want me to think that the branch is my sustenance. My power is not in my branch, it's in my wings. And so God keeps bouncing me from situation to situation to situation to situation, so I can see, do they work in this situation? Does it work in this situation? Does it work in that situation? Glory to God. The only thing that remains stable is God. And he goes on to say, give me the next verse. He goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I know how to deal with anything and any situation, because as long as I got my wings, I can survive anything. Trust your wings. I am instructed to abase and abound. I am instructed to be full, and I am instructed to be hungry. I am instructed to fight the Philistines or hide amongst the Philistines. I am instructed how to win the battle, and I am instructed how to lose a battle. I have learned whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. How can I be content and hungry? I can tell you how I can do it. I have meat to eat that you know not of. While my outward man is perishing, my inward man is being renewed. In other words, don't count me out. I'm trying to tell you, you got wings. I'm trying to tell you, you are enough. I'm trying to tell you, if you encourage yourself and if you start seeking God, that God will get you ready for what he's about to do in your life. But I haven't hit my point yet. Here's my point. Once he found out that God said, if you pursue the Amalekites, you not only will you overtake them, you will recover all. Y'all didn't hear it. Not most of it, not half of it, not all of it. Let me, in the balcony, did you hear what I said? All of it. Everything you lost, everything you cried about, everything you wept about, everything you've been in a season of depression about, God said, if you listen to what I'm saying, you're going to get it all back. I don't know who this word is for, but you could not leave Dallas till you get this word. You're going to get it all back. For every night you cried, for every night you suffered, for every moment you did without, you're going to get it all back. So this is what drew me to this text yet again, is that when he gets instructions from the Lord, he then takes his 600 men to go to pursue the Amalekites. You remember that God said he hated Amalek. God hated Amalek because the Amalekites had a system of warfare that they made prey out of the weak. So they waited till all the men were gone and abducted all the women and children. That was their style. They were known for that. God said, I hate Amalek. Now David is about to pursue the Amalekites. But that's not what got me. What got me is he took the 600 men with him who were about to stone him. In other words, he didn't get in his feelings. At the expense of the word God gave him, you may have to release somebody that hurt you in one chapter. God may turn around and use them again in another. The Bible said that God will make your enemies your footstools. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And so sometimes you get rid of people prematurely because God wants to use them to take you to the next level. But you got to get over your grief and your anger and your hostility, because just because you're through with them doesn't mean God is through with them. Somebody jump up and holler, God is not through with me. He's not through with me. He's not through with me. He's not through with me. And I thought, what is it about this David using these 600 men? So I began to investigate. He had trained them. He had prepared them. He had influenced them. He had affected them. And when push comes to shove, David always uses proven weapons. You remember when he was about to fight Goliath and Saul offered him his armor, and Saul's armor was bright and it was shiny and it was sharp and it was strong and it looked good. But when he got ready to fight, he said, I know my slingshot is raggedy. I know it doesn't look like much, but I have proven it. I used it against the lion. I used it against the bear. Don't go to battle with stuff that's not proven. If you have to make up, if you have to cry up, if you have to come up, whatever you got to do, God says, I'm going to use. And I admit, it would have been tough for me. It would have been tough for me to go into battle with somebody who was going to stone me. It would have been tough for me. But when you get a word from God, the word becomes more important than your feelings. And I'm almost where I need to be. But you're about to pursue everything you lost. You're going to reclaim everything the enemy tried to take away from you. You're about to step into a dominion that requires that you go outside of your camp, outside of your arena, outside of your circle, and you can't worry about their disapproval. You got to be willing to step into your destiny and your purpose, and you got to be willing to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. You got to be able to deal with challenging ideas. We got to be able to talk. Who am I talking to? Everything you lost is coming back. Everything that the enemy stole is coming back. Everything that they meant for evil, God is going to make it good. For every night you cried, God is going to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. You got your salvation, but it's coming back with joy. Lift your hands and open your mouth and let the sound of joy break out in this arena. Let it break out in this church. Let it break out in the overflow. Let it break out in your house. You got the power in your mouth. Let it rip right now. Let it rip right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to go into covenant with God. I'm going to trust my wings when I can't trust my feelings. I'm going to trust my wings when I can't trust my friends. I'm going to trust my wings when I can't trust my finances. I'm going to trust my wings. I'm getting ready to fly into another dimension. And everything that was held up, everything that was locked down, everything that was shut off, I'm about to get it back, and I gotta be prepared for what God is about to do in my life. Tell your neighbor, say, give me some room, because I'm getting ready to flap my wings. I'm going to flap my wings when all the hell is breaking loose. I'm going to flap my wings though a host is encamped against me. I'm going to flap my wings in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the test, in the middle of the tribulation. I'm going to flap my wings. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost getting you ready to get in flight. I'm not talking about your plane ticket. I'm talking about your destiny. You're getting ready to fly into another dimension. Somebody take 30 seconds and just try your wings. You still got it. 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 The devil is getting nervous. The devil is getting nervous. Witches are upset. Curses are being broken. Offer your life. Flap your wings. God's got you covered. God's got your finances covered. He's got your future covered. Everything. God said you're going to recover it all. I need a recover praise. A praise of recovery. A praise of breakthrough. A praise of surrender. A praise of saying yes. Whatever I got to go through, no matter how much I have to cry, I'll let nothing separate me from the love. Yeah. You come this far. on your own ideas, but God's going to give you in a place of innovation, and innovation comes out of conflict, and you got to know that we can have conflict and still trust that we'll end up at the same spot. We might disagree, but we're going to work till we come up with the best idea, which may be a hybrid of your idea and mine. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I've got a feeling that everything, every little thing, every broken thing, every fallen thing, every hurting thing is gonna be all right. Can I get a good old Holy Ghost praise in this place? Some trust in the horses, some trust in chariots, but I will remember the name of the Lord. I still got wings. I still got wings. Flap your wings into the devil's face. Right in the enemy's 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 face. Hallelujah. 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 1,000 may fall at your right side. 10,000 may fall at your left side. But keep on flapping. Sometimes they're with you. Sometimes they're against you. But keep on flapping. God said, trust your wings. For where you're getting ready to go, for what God's getting ready to do. See, David was not yet king, but he was practicing, and he was evolving, and he was getting ready, and he had to be able to lead in conflict, or you can't be king. You can't be king in a quiet room. You can't be king and stay disconnected. You can't be king and not deal with the messy stuff. You can't be king and not be strong enough to accommodate other people's gifts. You can't be king if you gotta be boss. Not and lead a great nation. Because if you're gonna lead a great nation, you gotta surround yourself with great people and be comfortable in the conflict. How do you become comfortable in the conflict? By creating an environment of trust that says we may disagree, but our relationship is stronger than our disagreement. And if it comes down to a choice, I choose to pursue relationship over disagreement. Perhaps you're not right and I'm not either. Perhaps it is the combination of ideas that defines innovation. There can be no innovation without disruption. And your hiding from the conflict is stopping the innovation. And so the Lord told me to tell you that you got to create atmospheres of trust. You got to create atmospheres where people can approach you or disagree with you or challenge you or say, have you thought about it this way or that way? And you can't keep running from other people's brilliance. Just so you can be important in your own little camp. And what was amazing to me about the text is David's values were on what had been proven to be true in his life. And he always turned down what looked like the obvious answer to use something that looked substandard, because he valued longevity and history over glitz and glitter and glam. Have you been proven? I can forgive your mistakes. Have you been proven? I can accommodate your ideas if you've been proven. If I'm going into this battle, I'm not going without you. If I'm going into this next dimension, I'm not going without you, because you are a piece of my destiny. And so he took 600 men to battle that were angry with him at first, because he was big enough to choose the better choice of going with that which has been proven. Proven. Do you know what I mean by proven? That which has been tested. That which works for me. Might not make sense to you, but it works for me.